Thank you, Kathy. That was beautiful. Please join me in the call to worship. Alleluia. Christ is alive. Let us stand as we are able and begin our worship with praise. We gather in the name of the living Christ to worship God. Surely God is in this place and calls us to worship in spirit and in truth. God's love is for you and for all people everywhere, that we may share God's love and life and be renewed in the refreshing spirit of the living Christ. The living Christ is with us. Let us praise the Lord. We're now singing hymn number 447, Lead On, O King Eternal. As you remain standing, let us confess who we are. Trusting in the love of God to make all things new, let us confess our sin to God and our neighbor. God of the clean and the unclean, we too easily think we could see from your point of view. We exclude, hold grudges, and nurse contempt, all the while hiding ourselves for fear we would be too found wanting. We think we are justified because we are made holy by your love, and we assume holiness means more like us. We forget, or never really knew, that all you touch is holy and that you created all that is. So when we exclude you. When we hold grudges, we hate you. When we show contempt, we are contemptuous of those you love. May we be made holy in truth, loving as you love, clean and unclean alike. God's promises are trustworthy and true. In Christ, our sins are forgiven. Be at peace to serve the Lord, and may you always be known by the love our Lord has commanded us to share. Thanks be to God. Amen. may be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, and strength to follow the path you set before us. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel lesson today is John 13, verses 31 to 35. I believe it's in your Bible on page 116. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I'm with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another."
Olivia, do you want to come up? You don't have to.
"And Can It Be" was written by Charles Wesley in 1738 to celebrate his conversion to Christianity. Based on the verses John 3, 14 through 21, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent into the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God."
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Today's second reading comes to us from the Acts of the Apostles. And it's an interesting reading, a little bit different. So listen now for the words of God as understood through Luke, who wrote this, the Acts, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 11. And it says, "Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, 'Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?' Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, 'I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners. And it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But I replied, "By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth." But a second time, the voice answered from heaven, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had been upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. So, my trip out west was interesting. Not only does my sister have a beautiful, brand new house, she's found a church and attends regularly. She had kind of gotten out of the habit for a while. Now, usually when I'm out there, I attend a mainline church near UNLV. My cousin usually goes with me, but this year, as some of you know, things are different. She was diagnosed with lupus less than a year ago, and it's draining her strength, and she's now using a walker. So I went to church with my sister. Her congregation has quite an oppressive facility.
You think this building is special? Oh my goodness. That one includes a middle and high school right there on the same campus, all one big building. Now, I have no idea what denomination, if any, they are. But with 19 active ministries, including foster care, and 3 weekly services with a boisterous full house at the 11 a.m. Sunday service, it seems to be pretty much a growing concern. And they are unquestionably devoted to Jesus Christ. All the same, the service was not at all familiar to me. It was designed, I think, to rev up the emotions of the people's faith, and it all began with singing for 20 plus minutes praise songs. Most of them were catchy and easy to learn and kind of fun, so I sang with them. Oh, everything was up on the board, of course, you know. Had the band of 10 people on the stage. Whee! Anyway, without any pauses, the pastor went straight in to his 35-minute long sermon. Now, he covered a lot of good ground, and folks in the audience sometimes responded with an amen. Then he prayed for about 3 minutes before going headlong into an altar call. Yeah, an altar call. The range of emotions I felt during that service, and especially during that invitation to come to Christ, ran the gamut for me. I went from happy to sing to thoughtfully interested in the sermon. And then when the preacher opened his salvation invitation, my first response was a surprised oh dear, coupled with an uncomfortably anxious whoa. But that turned to a curious which became an amazed and moved even with goosebumps, oh my, when folks actually came forward for private prayer. Altar calls are not a Presbyterian thing. Yes, we do respond in gratitude to Christ for all the wondrous love he showered upon our hearts, but we're quieter and more organized about it. You know, we baptize babies because we believe they've already been claimed by God as God's own, and years later our children are invited to study and learn about faith before they profess their own faith and become full church members. This whole process is decent and in order, as we like to say. We have long-standing, established ways of living into our faith. Which reminds me of the brothers, sisters, and apostles in our Acts reading. Now, I don't believe that we criticize the more emotional ways some folks display their faith. But it does feel a little bit awkward to be around it. So let's look back and consider what happened between Peter and God and Cornelius, who was named back in chapter 10, where the story was first told. He's the man who invited Peter to dinner. Peter first has this vision of a sheet containing all kinds of animals, including reptiles and birds, being lowered towards him, right? And he heard a voice ordering him to eat of all of them, not just those who were ritually pure. And that sheet came before his eyes 3 times. Now, remember, a few weeks ago during children's time, we learned that 3 is a special number in Bible stories. The repetition emphasizes an idea, but it also strongly encourages those who learn of the idea to respond affirmatively to the expectation within the idea. Peter was being asked by God to fully share the meal Cornelius would offer him. Never mind whether or not the food was kosher. The voice said, "Never consider unclean what God has made. Eat it." And Peter did. By the way, did you notice it was, excuse me, it was God who first acted in this story? Peter did not bring the gospel to Cornelius and company. God had already inspired Cornelius to worship and pray and serve people in need. Then an angel visited him and instructed that Gentile man to invite Peter home for dinner. And Peter accepted the invitation because God had given him that unusual vision. And while with Cornelius, Peter told his faith story. That's in chapter 10, too. He even shared that God was teaching him that God was not partial to one group of worshipers over another. In so saying, Peter was witnessing God's actions to all those around him. It was God who called the Gentiles to faith in Christ, not Peter. Peter only testified to God's truth, which he did later when he met with the other apostles, sisters, and brothers. Peter boldly shared how he had seen God at work amongst the uncircumcised, and that had taken Jesus' Judean followers aback. The Lord was theirs, wasn't he? Hadn't he commanded them to love one another? What was Peter doing sharing meals with outsiders? Well, yeah, Jesus did command his followers to love one another, just as Bev read to us today. We are to care for one another, to have each other's backs. But that commandment wasn't given just to remind the Judeans to enjoy time together and celebrate weddings and new babies together. Back then, in following Jesus' way, they were rebelling against society's ordinary ways, and that was dangerous. So if they didn't care for one another, who would? Jesus was encouraging his followers to not only take care of their own personal needs, but to support each other in the midst of fear and pain that was surely coming. He was calling them to help each other through those times, even if it meant they'd be sacrificing other friendships, their livelihoods, perhaps their lives. Many of us would gladly give it all up for our children or our spouse. Some would go out on a limb for other family members or a best friend. But would any of us give a kidney to a member of this congregation? Would we consider making a major sacrifice for other Christians, like the ones that I met at that Las Vegas church? I kind of think we would, but still it's good practice to do a check-in with yourself every now and then. In visiting with Cornelius and company, Peter saw God acting in the world. And by following God's command, Peter's faith grew. And the Holy Spirit fell upon all there who heard him preach the good news. And when Peter later told his brothers and sisters in faith of this incredible event, he knew he could be cut off from their community. But God opened the Judeans' eyes. And they too saw God's presence in the gathering and were able to understand Peter's actions as sacrifices of love. Yes, they were to care for each other, but they learned that God was working to expand that circle to include all kinds of other folks. God was intent on completing the circle of love that Jesus had begun with the 12. These brothers and sisters and apostles of the faith came to understand they were also to love faithful persons they had yet to meet. That this story was told twice, once in chapter 10, once in 11, lets the readers know just how important these lessons are. So back to the story of my sister's new church. Their services are so different from ours. I really missed our liturgy, and yeah, I'm still a bit uncomfortable with altar calls. But God was present that day for those who came forward. And God was present for me too. Now, I'm not sure. Got to think about this some more. But God could have been inspiring me to invite anyone in need of prayer to meet me in a private corner of this space after our services to ask Christ for help in their lives, or for a blessing, or to share a private joy with our Lord. Those prayers are sort of a form of altar call, I suppose. But right now I'm just thinking about it. Got to talk with worship committee and whatnot. That idea, though, leads to another question. Can we somehow become comfortable in sharing our faith, not just with each other, but with people whose faith does not feel familiar to us? Perhaps those who claim the Hindi faith or say they are Christian even though they don't agree with our political views, or are baptized believers but are also LGBTQ or immigrants, or have a skin tone much darker than our own. On the day he had the vision and met Cornelius, as well as on the day he told his stories to the brothers and the sisters, Peter saw God was present in the world, changing all kinds of people for good. We too are called to see God, who is still very much in this world, still making life anew for all kinds of people, and still inviting us all to participate in God's own life. Scary? A little. But if we support each other in love, we are then strengthened so that when we go forth into the world, we might discover how God is speaking to others in ways they can hear and be comfortable. And like those folks who came forward in that altar call, we too can discover renewed faith and energy that could open our faith journeys in all sorts of amazing ways. That is amazing grace. Amen.
Please stand and join me in hymn number 229, From All That Dwell Below the Skies.
Please remain standing if you're able and say the Apostles' Creed with me. It's on page 14 of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Brought us from death unto life, and for that gift alone we are forever grateful. But we are also thankful for the gift of this new spring green day, for the recent rains that have refreshed the soil so seeds may be planted, and for the bounty and beauty of this, your incredible, amazing earth. We pray we may be good and faithful stewards of the bountiful seas, the verdant land, and even the air that surrounds us. We pray, too, that we might joyously encourage others to do likewise. We are so very grateful, too, for our friends, our families, the circle of love that you have brought us into. And we are grateful that you have called us together with the faithful from around the world to serve as your hands and feet in this place. Thank you for the vision you have given each of us that guides our service and helps us to truly welcome into our midst people from differing cultures who also love and worship you. We ask that you continue to speak to us, to help us discern new ways to love them and to reach out in love to all of your creation. O powerful yet intimate Lord, we pray not just for ourselves, but for others, so ask you to hear our hearts as we lift up the peoples who are suffering amidst wind-driven firestorms in the Southwest, especially in New Mexico. And we pray for those in Buffalo who are feeling the effects of what seems to be a shooting resulting from an inability to love people who look different than they do. We pray for the church, not just here in Muskingum County, but throughout the Presbytery and beyond. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Lexington and Dresden, Belleville and Auraville. But we also pray for churches who worship you in ways unfamiliar to us, Jehovah's Witnesses, North Terrace, Cornerstone Full Gospel, and Hands of Faith. Help us to understand your vision for all who claim faith in Jesus, as well as how we might better serve you in this world so that we might fulfill your commandment to love one another. We ask traveling mercies for those who are transitioning between old lives and new, be they physical relocations or emotional adjustments, and especially for families who are grieving the loss of a loved one who is now alive with you. We pray for those who are ill in body or spirit, especially those who struggle with addiction in any of its forms, those burdened by ongoing challenges of extended treatment programs, and those whose illnesses have yet to be identified. We pray all this in the name of the risen Lord, whose Spirit has fallen upon believers and lives within our hearts and taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Sing hymn number 376, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Thank you.
God's love is divine, and it is excelling above all others. God created each of you and gave you a family, a circle of love, which has been expanding over the years and now includes all of these people gathered around and all the saints that have gone before. And God invites you to include those who worship and have faith and express it in ways that might feel a little awkward to you. But love them, for they too love Christ. And God loves all of us. So go forth, knowing that you do not ever go alone, for the love of God, the grace and forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community of the Holy Spirit that draws us all together goes with each and every one of you in that circle of love. Amen.